Good morning, Rabbi Isai. Just to a PS from yesterday. There was a time when I gave, on Parshas Truma, I think it was, a Dvar Torah at the table, had ladies around the table, about the old moshel about the king that wanted to, that he married off his daughter to a prince who lived in a distant land, and he didn't want to leave her, and he said, you know, he said to his daughter, that wherever you go, build a little house for me or a little granny flat so that I can visit you and I can stay. And that was the moshel as to the Rebbeinu Shem having a dira bat achtoinim coming down to this world, spending time with us. He doesn't want to leave Klal Yisrael. So one of the ladies said, so that was the moshel, that was the nimshel, end of story. But one of the ladies says, so was she happy? How many children did she have? Yeah, that, you know, she wanted to know the end of the story. So yesterday I told you a story about Egloi Melech Moyov. And I said that Egloi Melech Moyov, we learned from him that you have to stand up for a Dovah Shebi Kedusha, because when Ehud Ben Gero came in order to speak to him, told him he had something secret to say to him, which is a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he stood up. The Egloi Melech Moyov stood up, and therefore we learned the Kol Shekein that we should stand up for a Dovah Shebi Kedusha. So somebody came over afterwards to me after the Shir, and he says, you mentioned that he smuggled a dagger under his cloak, right, with intention to Egloi, to kill him. He said, did he kill him? Yeah, he wanted to know the end of the story. Not the Gert, really, to the Ikka was. Yeah. Anyway, the answer is, yes, he killed him. And then they battled against the Moyovim, and it says that after that they enjoyed 80 years of peace, having been ruled over by Moyov in Eretz Yisrael for 18 years, but after that there were 80 years of peace after he killed. In fact, it says that Egloi Melech Moyov was very, very fat. The knife stuck inside his stomach, he couldn't get it out, so he left it behind. All that's in Shoftim, Perek Gimel, for those who want to look it up. That's the end of the story. He did kill him, and he got away with it, and then he led the battle against the Moyovim. Coming back to our subject, I need to finish off because I'm going today. So, Emiyat Hashem, let's finish off our discussion about whether or not we should stand or not for the Aseres HaDibrois. Do we get up? So we said that for Kriyas HaTorah, generally speaking, you're not mechuyev to stand. For the Brochas, you are mechuyev to stand. We learned that already. The Gabba, the Aseres HaDibrois, there is a big debate in the Rishonim. The Rambam says that Chas V'Sholom, that anybody should give any special respect to the Aseres HaDibrois. He says that Onoichi Hashem Elokecha and Shema Yisrael is exactly the same chashivas as V'Simna Hois or Pilegesh or V'Achois Loiton Timno. Right? Any of the most mundane psukim in the Torah are as choshuv and as kodosh as the Aseres HaDibrois, and therefore Chas V'Sholom. The minig is, amongst many Sfardim, therefore they sit during the Aseres HaDibrois, they do not stand. Nevertheless, many of the Sfardim poskim bring down that the minig was, certainly the minig is in Ashkenaz, and the minig was in amongst Sfardim as well, that they stood up for the Aseres HaDibrois, the reason being that it should be doimer to the Maimat HaSinai. In fact, we call it Ma'amad HaSinai, they stood. It says there, Vayisyatzvu Besachti Sohor. It says, Vayamdu Meirochoik. It says, and therefore you find that Klal Yisrael was standing at Matan Torah, and therefore Zeicher to Klal Yisrael standing by Matan Torah, therefore we do as well. Some of the Sfardish Poskim are very upset about it, and they say that those Poskim who said that you should stand, those Sfardish Poskim, may not have seen the Tshuva of the Rambam. And if they had seen the Tshuva of the Rambam, who was so adamant that you mustn't stand, then maybe he would have paskened, they would have paskened differently, but they didn't have the Tshuva of the Rambam. In fact, he says even, in one of the places that I saw, Ramosha Feinstein says the same thing, that nevertheless the minig is to stand, and he doesn't mention the Tshuva of the Rambam, and he says maybe Ramosha Feinstein didn't see the Tshuva of the Rambam either. I'll call upon him. The minig is Yisrael, I think, amongst most... It's a Tshuva of the Rambam. It's not the Rambam in Yad Chazokah. Shalos and Tshuvas, I don't know the details, but the Tshuva of the Rambam, Tshuva Mem something or other, Mem Bob, I think. So, the conclusion is, right, that the Minhag Olam is nevertheless to stand, but both, but Rabbi Avadya Yosef says like this. He makes a simple suggestion which gets around the problem, which is that when you hear Baruch Hu Es Hashem Anvoyach from the Oile, and you answer Baruch Hashem and Baruch Lein Avoid, we said that's a Dovah Shebik Dusha, which you're mechuyev to stand. He says, you're standing already. He says, remain standing for the whole of the parasha. You've got seven psukim. You've only got seven psukim up to Onoichi Hashem Elokecho. Yeah, and then you would be standing anyway for Noich Hashem Lekecho. Stand for those extra seven psukim. Stand up for Baruch Hashem and Baruch Lein Avoyet. Remain standing throughout. That way you get out of it. The other thing the poskim say, my time is up, is that if you are somebody who is a sitter and you're davening in a shul where they all stand, then you should zicha stand, and vice versa as well. An Ashkenazi who happens to be davening in a Sfaradish minyan where they sit, chas v'sholom, there shouldn't be any machloikas be Yisrael. It's only a question of inhogim, and therefore the machloikas would be a lot worse than not doing exactly according to your particular minag.
We have a chazak.
Started at the Turaway, North East London. Wednesday, Dalet 7, 20th of May, Rena Rav, Rav Elchonon, Feldman, Schlitter, of Bushy United Shul, and chair of the RCUS, in Yonah de Yoma. This week's Torah is sponsored anonymously. Uli Nishmas, our esteemed founder, Rabbi Yosef Dov, Ben, Rabbi Shimon Michal, Tzvi Itzkovitz, Zichron, and Oliv Rachot.
A very good morning. We'll be discussing in Yoni Dioma, Erev Shavuos. We'll take a little bit of a wider journey towards in Yoni Dioma, but hopefully it'll be interesting. So the question is as follows. What does a Rav do when you take a pause from Rabbanus? Or in my community, the way they would ask it is, what does a rabbi do when you're not rabbiing? This happened to me a few years ago when I had the pleasure of taking a three-month sabbatical from my Rabbanus, part of my contract, a chance to recharge, to reconnect. So what did I do? I went back to the Mir Yeshiva. Went back to learn. It was quite a humbling experience being set up with chavrusas who were literally able to be my children. But afforded me something which was quite remarkable. For at least half of my life, more than half of my life now, I've lived in a different country than my parents. That's the nature of things. And this was an opportunity for me to spend quality time with my father. He had made Aliyah. I was living in Eretz Yisrael already. And we walked to the mirror in the morning together, having amazing conversations. And it was during one of those conversations when something particularly odd took place. I still remember it. Those who know your geography, a little bit of that part of Yerushalayim, we're walking down Rehov Shmuel Hanavi. We're about to take off the off-ramp, as it were, up to Rehov Beis Yisrael to make our way with the mayor straight ahead. And my father, who's cheshbinning out a little bit, trying to work out tickets to come for a forthcoming simcha, one of our children's bar mitzvah, our son Shlomo's bar mitzvah. And he asks the question, he says, so what sedra new, what sedra will Shlomo be laning? So I said to him that, he asked, what's the date? So I said, it's the 9th of July. So 9th of July, I did a quick cheshbon, and he said, it's such a shame, because it would have been really nice for him to lane the same sedra you lane, chukas. Instead he's laning bullock. What can you do? Would have been beautiful for you to be able to teach your son the sedra that you yourself had learned. So I kind of stopped dead in my tracks. I didn't bother to do any calculations because I'd already been learning with Shlomo for a good 6 months his sedra. And you're not supposed to contradict your father when he says something to you. I said, Abba, it is chukas, it's not bullock. The 9th of July is chukas, it's not bullock. He says, no, it's bullock, not chukas. And we got ourselves into a little bit of a twist of what's going on here. And we discovered that we were both right, which was quite problematic. In Chutz Laaretz, it was going to be Chukas, and in Eretz Yisrael was going to be Balak. Now, why was that particularly challenging? Because since we have so much family in Eretz Yisrael, we had organized that our son's Bo Bayom, which was on the Monday, would be in Eretz Yisrael. So we would be coming to Eretz Yisrael for the Bo Bayom, and my son would get up for Kriya Satara, and he'd have the Sedra in front of him, and discover, lo and behold, instead of laning Chukas, he'd be laning Balak, which I don't believe is something that a Bar Mitzvah wants to experience as you have that particular moment in time. So instead, he had the unusual pleasure of having to learn another Rishon. And on the Monday, he leaned Balak. On the Shabbos, he leaned Chukas. And then on Shabbos Mincha, he ended up leaning Balak again. Unbelievable. So turns out, never contradict your father. Obviously, he knew exactly what he was doing. It was a misalignment of the type which is going to occur on second day Shavuos for us in Chutz Laretz. And will when we in Eretz Yisrael diverge, at least temporarily, until we hit Chukas Balak, why does that happen? As we will explain, but it's fairly obvious. When you ask someone, what's this week's Sedra? Normally you know exactly wherever you are, what the Sedra is going to be, but not when it comes through the Tekufa, through the period in between Pesach and Rosh Chodesh Av, where on many years there is going to be a misalignment, which happens as we will have a second day of Yom Tov, and therefore late Aser to Aser, whereas in Eretz Yisrael, they do not have a second day of Yom Tov, and instead will go straight into learning Nasso, as is happening this time around. So the reason why this takes place is because we know that there are 54 parshios, and 54 parshios, they're a part of the yearly cycle of completing our leaning at Simchas Torah time, but because there are less than 54 weeks during the year, you end up having doubling up, and that doubling up will occur in a variety of different ways depending on the year, depending on whether you're in Eretz Yisrael or whether you're in Chutz Laretz. Just a question for the Olam. I'm sure one that all of you have thought about. When you have a double Sedra, is it the Parsha of Chukas Balak, or is it the Parshios of Chukas Balak when you're leaving that one? It's a Shaila and Diktuk, and of course, I think it depends. It depends on how you're referring to it. If you're saying that you are going to be reading this week, what sedras are you going to be reading this week? There's only one sedra. The sedra is Chukas Balak. The parsha is Chukas Balak. That's where you're leaning. But if you're looking at the parshios, looking at what will actually be read, for example, Shnai Mikra, this week you have to cover Chukas Balak, the parshios of Chukas Balak. I think that might be right, but feel free to argue with me if you would like to. The Avudram in the 13th century explains that the Minog Yisrael is to have only certain parshios combined. Vayakot Pekudei, which is in Shemos, Tzazir Mitzora, Achrimas Kedosha, Bar Mechukosai and Vayikra, Chukas Balak, and Matos Masei and Bamidbar, and the Tzavim Vayilech in Devarim. This creates for itself a number of shailas of how to navigate the system, which, you know, are worth mentioning. So, for example, what happens if you have this week spent, this Shabbos you are in Chutz Laretz, and therefore, when you arrive in Eretz Yisrael afterwards, Nasso has long gone. Do you have to catch up Nasso? Or let's say the other way around. Let's say you're in Eretz Yisrael for Shavuos this year, and then you come back. You get a week off from leaning when it comes to Shabbos that you've already heard Nasso. You don't need to hear Nasso again. How does that work out? And it comes down to a Chakira, which is brought down by Rav Baruch Ber, a Chakira of Rav Chaim. And the Chakira is based around a Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi brings down that Moshe Hiskin Sisrael Shikarim Batayra Bashabbos of Yom Tovim. There is a Takana already from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu that we have Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur. The Mishnah Megillah explains that this Kriyas HaTorah has to happen Ba'asara. It has to happen with a minyan. And the Ran on the Daf Pei Arif explains that this reason why it has to be Asara connects to the Yerushalmi directly. Meaning because it's a Takanas Chachamim, the Kriyas B'tzibur, therefore it has to be specifically with a minyan. The way that we lean. Why? Why? Why that particular takana? Why is it that why is it that you have to lean each the Shabbosos, Yom Tovim, v'chule? What's the reason why? So, the Ginas Vradim, there's many different people who give the explanation, say it's not midin chi of Talmud Torah. We're not leaning b'tzibor midin that we have to learn together as a tzibor. Rather, it's Yilmadu Torah Barabim Bechnufaya Ufarhesia. It's actually a din that the Kriyas HaTorah must be done publicly. It's a din in that the tzibor needs to publicly hear the Torah being read. It's not a din in limud haTorah. Just to explain that. That there's something about Kriyas haTorah which is nogea to all of us, that we have to have a Kabbalah, we have to be able to hear it as a tzibor together. And it's possible, therefore, to understand the reason why throughout history we've been moser nefesh to lein b'tzibor, even when there's been variety of challenges that there's been various circumstances that have made it almost impossible, even at the threat of a penalty, death, or whatever it might be, we've persevered. There's something about the takan of leining b'tzibor which goes beyond even the chiyuv of Talmud Torah. The question is, that chiyuv of leining b'tzibor, is it a chiyuv tzibor or is it a chiyuv yachid? Meaning, is it on me personally to make sure or to be part of this leining b'tzibor? Or is it that it needs to happen? I don't need to be involved with it. It's that the tzibor needs to have a leaning done. It's not a yachid has no particular chiyuv which is connected to it. So the Ran brings down that it's actually a machlokas between the Baal Ma'or and the Ramban, whether it's a chovas tzibor or a chovas yachid. This is a relatively famous read. The Baal Ma'or says that it's a chiyuv yachid on each individual mensch, and the Ramban says it's a chiyuv on the tzibor. What's the nafgamina? And nafgamina is exactly as we said. Let's say, for example, you've already heard Nasa. I, the Yachid, have already heard Nasa. I don't need to hear it again. I've heard it already. It doesn't make a difference that everyone else in Chutz Laaretz will have not heard it before. I'm Yotze. I've done it already. Alternatively, if I'm going to a space where Nasa is going to be missed for some reason, I'm going back to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore I'm not going to be able to hear Nasa. Again, if I'm mechuyev myself to hear Naso, it doesn't matter what the tzibor are doing, I need to catch up. I haven't heard it yet. So Reb Chaim famously said that it's a chiyav on the yachid. He was choshesh for the Baal Ma'or. And therefore, according to Reb Chaim, you need to organize a minyan just for Kriyas HaTorah, just to make sure those who haven't heard the leining are able to hear the leining. So for those of you who make your way to Eretz Yisrael, to many of the shtiblach or the minyan factories that are there, you may find minyanim just to lane for those bachrim or whoever who are traveling back and forth one with the other. As far as I know, in the UK, there's no such venue which provides for just a Kriyas HaTorah laning. Is there? And Hoggers does, okay. Growing up in Brooklyn, there were certainly many of them that did though, as well, in order to catch up.
So I remember. They didn't advertise it.
Yeah. Okay. I remember when I was in yeshiva, on second day Shavuos, when we knew we would lose Naso, so the minhag was on Shabbos Mincha to lane the whole Naso rather than just to learn lane Rishon. Can you imagine that shlishi, the person who gets up there and he's just standing there, poor guy doesn't realize that he's having Aliyah L'Torah for the entire Nusa that needs to be read. And there were certain those in our yeshiva who were particularly good at leaning quickly, and they got the slot in order to be able to do so. Fine. So we have here a classic understanding of whether the chi of Kriyas HaTorah is on the yachid, on the tzibor, and the nafkamin is that it turns out when we have this divergence, when we have it separated.
More of a problem if I'm in Israel next week, and there they line by Meisner, and in England you would have lain Nasso.
Yes, so that's why you would have in the Shtiblach, they would have another laning of Nasso to catch up. That's exactly what they do.
That's what they were done Shabbos this week, but us is Yom Zim, but then it's...
If we are here, if I'm here, and I go to Eretz Yisrael, I lose Naso. Yeah. So we need to catch it up.
And if I'm at Eretz Yisrael this Shabbos...
Yes, so you hear Naso.
I would hear,
you hear Naso, so then you hear Naso twice.
I would hear Naso twice.
If you are in Eretz Yisrael and you heard Naso, when you come back, according to the Ramban, you're mechuyev in Naso again, because it's a chiyev tzibor, it's not a chiyev niyachid.
I said, that doesn't matter.
Okay, you can't have everything in this world. Yeah. So then you're fine. But not everyone has. Not everyone was doing. There's a whole shiloh whether you should go to Chutz Minyan anyway. But that's a subject for a different matter. The tour in Or HaChaim, Tav Chaf Ches, brings down a mnemonic of understanding how we need to place our sedras that which are parshios, which are lane, they have to connect with different points in time during the year, which is the reason why we end up with having divergences longer than we are supposed to, or at least practically speaking. The mnemonic which is used is for a regular year. It's called a pashat. It's paktu paschu, paktu piktu pischu, which is parshat Tzav needs to come on Shabbos Hagadol right before Pesach. And in a Shana Mu'beres, it's Sigru Pischu. There you have Tazria or Metzora specifically needs to come right before Pesach as well. So in a Pasha year, it's always Tzav. In a Shana Mu'beres, in a leap year, it's going to be Metzora. And each of them have a connection with Pesach. And then we go back onto the regular track. Minuv Atzaru, you should always have the counting by Midbar preceding Shavuos. And then you have Zumu Vitsalu. Then you should have Tsamu Vitsalu. You should have the fast of Tisha B'Av right before we have Eschanan. And finally we have Kumu Vitiko, and we have Netzavim, which is supposed to come before Rosh Hashanah. Now why is it that you have these the Torah explains that Chazal instituted the Parshios always to coincide with these specific milestones or features of our Jewish calendar. So it's not coincidental. Specifically, where we are holding right now when it comes to Bamidbar, we recognize that B'chukosai has to fall before the Rosh Hashanah Ha'ilanos, before Shavuos. And the idea is that the Tochacha should arrive, both Tochachas, both for Kisavo and for Kosai, should arrive, should land before the new year begins, with a buffer zone to say that we have concluded all of the Klolos for the coming year. That's right. And then we're able to move into the new year, the new Tekufa, with all of our Klolos in the rearview mirror as we are moving further along. Now, what's interesting to note is that in that regard, it comes out a little bit counterintuitively. It comes out that we are keeping our divergence. So for example, if you have Pesach that falls, 8-day Pesach falls on the Shabbos, and therefore you already have a divergence, like it happened at the time of my son's bar mitzvah, then when you have that divergence, you don't come together in order that we will continue to have Bamidbar, at least in Chutz La'aretz, as a buffer before Shavuos, after B'chukosai. So it's a funny thing. We are therefore not catching up with Eretz Yisrael. We're maintaining that at least in Chutz La'aretz, we're keeping the takana, or keeping the mapping of how the Torah explains we need to have our separations. There was a moment which is brought down in the Tikkun Yisachar, there was what was referred to as the Chachmei Svart in Svat, who said, one second, why should we be separated from Eretz, from Chutz La'aretz, longer than we have to? Let's combine together Tazria Mitzara, Chaparayim, catch up and bring us together, and then we'll already be aligned together. And the Rabban Eretz Yisrael heard about this, that Chachmei Svard wanted to catch up early. They wanted to make things earlier, and they weren't having any of it. This is the exact wording that they brought down. Zihu minog avosenu v'kamanenu biyodenu me'ai olam v'shanum kadmanios. He said, it's never been that way. We don't catch up earlier. We keep to the minhag, to the mapping of what the Torah has brought out. And it's more important to follow that than to have Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Aretz to be properly aligned with one another. So that is the explanation around Bamidbar, why we need to have at least one buffer. There are other ones, the other explanations which are brought down as well. brought down, for example, when it comes to the understanding of why the Eschanan has to come right after Tisha B'Av. It's a beautiful idea. This idea is brought down because we lay in the Eschanan, Kisol Banim V'Nevanim, Neshtantem Ba'aretz, that it's part of the Kolos. But it says that our people would end up being forsaken from Eretz Yisrael. The gematria of Neshantim is 852, and the idea of it was Neshantim would be that after 852 years we would be exiled. We would have the Churban. We'd be exiled from Eretz Yisrael. But we know that Neshantim didn't happen. It was after 850 years, rather 852 years, that we were in Galus earlier. The Churban happened 2 years earlier. And the Maharit says that is for a purpose, is to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't wait the whole way until we would be fully the 852 years, in order to be reminded that we've gone out. We went out early. We could come back early, and there's even in the klala a bit of a nechama, and therefore we dafka lein v'eschana afterwards to see right after the churban that Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying you're gone, but you're not lost. You're going to be coming back to Eretz Yisrael. Now this is a bit of a long journey to understand the Yom Diyoma of why exactly as we're approaching Shavuos. And looking at this divergence, why it's nogea to us for Shavuos, and nogea, even more importantly, to this Zman Matan Torah Seinu. Kabbalah Satayra is understood as not just a seminal event which took place at one point in time in our people's history, but is a continued present Kabbalah Satayra. The Zman Matan Torah Seinu is in each and every single year. Each of us have our own opportunity again to receive HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. The Gemara in Sukkah tells us what is the first pasuk that a Rav Nunez teaches that a child is taught. Torah Tzivulana Moshe Marosha Kilos Yaakov. What's a Marosha? The Torah Tamima explains beautifully. He says that a Marosha, his words are, why teach that to a child first? What does a child need to know about that Torah? That the Torah that we were mitzvah in is a morasha. He says that the point of the pasuk is the yisodei emunas haTorah. That we teach a child from the first moments that he's able to understand, able to learn. She yisod musa leemuna bekabbalas haTorah ish mipi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu. We tell a child that the Torah Kedusha that you're learning is a Torah that had the Mesira that goes all the way back to Kabbalah Satayra. This is a Yerusha Nitzchis. This is our Morasha. This is our Yerusha. This is our eternal connection to what was and continues to be. We learn the same Torah that was handed down from parent or from teacher all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Beautiful idea of Kabbalah Satayra. Every child, every one of us understands that this is a Marasha, this is our Yerusha. And this brings us back to understanding another way of understanding this Takana of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Yerushalmi. Moshe Hiskenzishol Shehu Korim B'Torah B'Shabbos Yom Tovim. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Klal Yisrael that Kabbalah Satayra didn't just happen for us at Har Sinai. That Kabbalah Satayra, every time, every Shabbos, every Yom Tov, every time we lane, we are connecting our laning, our Kriya Satayra, our own Kabbalah Satayra, to what happened back, so many years ago. This is the Chiyuv in that regard of the Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. It's a reenactment, but not a reenactment like a show, but a reenactment in real time. A new moment, a revelation. Morasha Kihilas Yaakov. The It's a marasha that this is a passed down inheritance from generation to generation. The Rambam has another understanding of what Rav Amnuna was trying to teach us. He says in Hilchos Talmud Torah, he says that of all the kesarim, the most important keser that one can wear is keser Torah. Why? Because he said keser Torah hari munach va'omein muchan l'chol Yisrael. How do we know that for every yid, you have your own personal chelak, you have your own personal connection to Talmud Torah? Because it says Torah tzivalanu Moshe marasha kilos Yaakov, that we tell a child from the moment that he's able to understand that this is not just the Rav's Yerusha, it's not just the Rosh Yeshiva's Yerusha, it's not just those who lived in other times. This is your own Yerusha, your own Marasha as well, Shaykh to each and every single one of us. This beautiful dichotomy, on the one hand, the Aruch HaShulchan is telling us, the Torah Tumima says, that the connection we have is the kolius that we're handed down from what was given to us, but we also have our own chelak in it, also have our own Yerusha, own connection to shape it into what we can. I want to conclude with a medrash. It's a beautiful medrash, a medrash from Rav Yanai. Rav Yanai was walking on the road and he met an elegant looking person, someone quite refined. And Rav Yanai saw such a person. He said, can I host you in my house? Can you come to us for a meal? The man agreed. And he came to the meal, and he was fed. And after he ate, Rav Yanai thought, such a refined, such an elegant man, such a clearly a Talmud Chacham, let's talk and learn. So Rav Yanai began to talk to him in Gemara. Nothing doing. He said, okay, at least a Gadata, maybe Mishnah. Nothing. New, a bit of Tanakh. Do you know anything? And the man said, sorry, no. He said, okay, at least bench. Can you at least bench? And the man said, you know, it would honor me if Rav Yanai led the benching. I'll just repeat after you what you say. Rav Yanai didn't respond very kindly. He said that he had wasted his food and given it to a kelev. To a kelev. He said, I thought I was inviting into my home someone chashev. Turns out I wasn't. The guest responded to Rav Yanai. What did he say? So he said, Yerashti etzlecha. My Yerusha is in your hands. You're holding my Yerusha. Ata mona mimeni, and you're holding it back from me. Torah tzivalanu Moshe. Marasha kilos Yaakov. It's not just yours, Rav Yanai. I didn't have the opportunities that you had, so you're berating me. You're insulting me. It's my Yerusha as much as it's your Yerusha. It doesn't say Marasha Kilas Yanai. It says Marasha Kilas Yaakov. What's the Medrash telling us? How's it nogea for Shavuos? And how's it nogea to the cycle of trying to make sure that our Kriyas HaTorah is aligned appropriately with all of the major milestones of connection? It's all one Yisod. Yisod is very pashut. Shavuos is our opportunity to remind ourselves that the Torah Kedesha that we are zeicha to learn is a Marasha Nitzchis. It's a Yerusha Nitzchis. It's our Torah which has been given from Shemayim to us, that we have the honor and Shavuos to, whether we stand or whether we don't stand, it's a different conversation. But we are being mekabel that beautiful Torah. That Torah is shayach to every yid, and that Torah is for us to safeguard. But it's also for us to recognize that it's nogea to us and to our lives, and to our and every moment in time, and we can map our own existence, our own calendar, based around the Torah that we are zocha to read. So Mirtzah Hashem, as we now have the final moments leading to our Kabbalah Satayra, Be'ezus Hashem, we should have a meaningful and uplifting Zman Matan Torah Seinu, and every Yid should recognize their own Chelak in Torah, and every Yid should recognize that this is a Chiyav on the Klal, on the Kehilas together, that we should continue that beautiful transmission. Abiyos Goyal. I wish everyone a good Yom Tov. I wasted my time. I should have invited you over.
I shouldn't have invited you. Is that what he said? Yeah. Very, very nice. Nice to meet you. Nice to
meet you. From New York.
You still got to take it American.
Yeah, good profession.
How to do a special mincha for those, and then they have the shlishi, the long thing. It's not a minion, is it?
Yeah.
Especially they call it that one, people who want to.
Yeah. Chaperon.